Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Joan Baez, I Am a Noise, Fair Play, and Strange Way of Life.
Well, I would like to talk about three very different films this week, as I often do. The first one is a documentary. The only one of our three that is a nonfiction film. And it is called Joan Baez, I Am a Noise. And it was directed by Mira Nevasky, Maeva Boyle, and Karen O'Connor. Joan Baez is a figure who stretches back a long, long way in my life. When I was very young, she was becoming a star of the folk music scene back around, the very, very early 1960s. And her career certainly continued from then. In fact, her career went on for about 60 years. And the filming of this documentary about Joan Baez coincides with a kind of a farewell tour and farewell concert that she did. So her career now appears to be over, but hey, she's earned a good rest because she's been working for many, many, many years. Now, Joan Baez is an unusual folk singer, which is to say that she has a really beautiful voice. A lot of folk singers don't have beautiful voices. They are folk singers. They're ordinary people like you and me. And having a beautiful voice, a really pretty vibrato or something, is not the point. But there have always been exceptions to that, especially around the time when she was rising up in the folk music world, again, back around the early to middle 1960s. And she was one of them. She was one of the ones who had a really, really pretty voice, just gorgeous. Maybe she could have been an opera singer if she had wanted to go in that direction. And this documentary traces her life and career, and it does a really nice job, I think, of going back and forth between early experiences and her rise in the folk music world, and the present day when she's getting ready to retire, and various personal experiences, especially family experiences. She had an interesting family. Her father was a scientist, and her mother was apparently a very strong figure in her life, her mother being Joan Baez Sr. Also, interestingly, Joan Baez's sister, Mimi Baez, married a folk singer named Richard Farina, and they were really, really famous for a while, Richard and Mimi Farina, until he died in a motorcycle accident. And then Mimi Farina's career kind of faded away, and apparently she led a very troubled life as long as she did live. So that's definitely a part of this movie. But mainly, of course, the film focuses on Joan Baez herself. And we see her learning the ins and outs of the music scene. We see her rising in fame and fortune and all of that. Obviously, she has a really fabulous California house now. So obviously, she accumulated a lot of success and wealth along the way. Also, of course, some very famous things about her, particularly her liaison when she was very young with Bob Dylan. They were a couple for a while, and he being very different from her. She, by all appearances, has always been a very organized person and has always conducted her career and her life in a fairly lucid and cogent and logical way, as much as she's been able to. Bob Dylan being much more impulsive and always reinventing himself and all that sort of thing. So they were a couple for a while, and that's very much in the movie, and we have how much he meant to her and she meant to him, but that was a long time ago, and then we all move on. There are some things in the movie which are not so well known, particularly, I think, that Joan Baez has had real mental health problems over the years. She evidently had a strong tendency toward depression. And there's a lot in the movie where she talks about that and discusses that. And it does not appear, at least from the evidence in the movie, to have been something that, you know, that was really mortally dangerous to her. But it was definitely a real problem in her life. She had ups and downs along the way in terms of depression and just moroseness of various kinds. And that's also very much a part of the movie, and she discusses it very candidly. This movie is, among other things, really quite refreshing for its frankness. She talks about very personal things. I don't think she gets all that deeply into them, but she's open about them and she reveals them, and we get a little bit of an idea of what the touring life is like. And of course, that's been covered in a lot of movies and a lot of other ways over the years. But her son has also been a help to her as a touring performer for many years, and that's just another. He's not a major figure in the movie, but that's just another sort of interesting angle that comes in, is that we get a few glimpses of him and get some sort of a slight idea of what he is like. There is concert footage in this movie. I sort of wish there was more of it, because I really like Joan Baez, and I've liked her very much since I was very young. She and I are very roughly the same age. So I wish there was a little bit more concert footage. Then again, it's nice that this is one of those movies that doesn't use up a whole lot of running time with various different stages and microphones and singing. It's nice that it gives us enough concert footage to let us know what it's been like, her voice over the years, but not taking away from the personal elements and the professional elements of the documentary. I must say her voice has altered a lot. It's what in the opera world they call the deepening of the voice. Her voice sounds so different now from the way it sounded when she was young. On the other hand, it's still recognizably, I think, the same voice. So that's another interesting angle of it. If you have always liked the music of Joan Baez and taken an interest in it, I have done so for quite a while, then Joan Baez, I Am a Noise, by the way, I love that title, I Am a Noise, is the movie for you. If not, it's a nice introduction to a very, very fine singer who emerged in the folk scene and developed a long and lasting career. So I recommend it, Joan Baez, I Am a Noise. And now, as promised, something completely different, a movie called Fair Play, which is written and directed by Chloe Domont. And this is, it's a movie, it's streaming on Netflix, and it is a movie about the business world, and it's also very much a movie about gender and sexism and misogyny and all of those things. And the title, Fair Play, is really quite ironic in all kinds of ways. So what we have here is it looks to me like a pretty big hedge fund where our young main characters both work. The young woman's name is Emily, and the young man's name is Luke. Emily is played by Phoebe Dynevor, and Luke is played by Alden Ehrenreich. And they both work there, and they both are young and energetic and go-getters, and they want to make a lot of money, and they want to thrive in the business world, and they want to thrive in the hedge fund world, and it's all a very cutthroat environment, and they seem well-suited to that, so that's very nice. The thing that is a little bit different here, refreshingly so, is that the more successful of this couple is Emily. She is doing a lot better than Luke, and she gets a big promotion early in the movie, and he is sort of jealous of that, although he certainly seems on the surface to be taking it all in stride. Another thing here is that they are a secret couple. It is very much against the rules of the business for couples to form. You're not supposed to be having personal relationships with others in the company, and so they have to keep all this very much on the down low. And this is not all that easy, because they actually live together. They share an apartment and they're doing everything together, but when they're in the office, they have to sit at their separate desks and not particularly look at each other, although of course they have to interact it, because he is what is called her analyst. He's the one who gives her advice, looks into the nitty-gritty of all the different possible deals they might make or participate in, and he gives her the advice that he has. But again, she is doing more successfully than he is, and that of course causes a certain amount of tension in their relationship. The other character of the movie who really captured my attention, and in fact I think he's the most interesting character in Fair Play, is the boss. The guy who runs the hedge fund, a guy named Campbell, and he is played by Eddie Marsan. And he is a wonderful actor. And there he is, given this sort of tough, sort of semi-Brooklyn-y accent, even though he is the head of the hedge fund. He's pretty important person, but he's a no-nonsense fellow and doesn't brook any kind of guff from anybody and all of that. So obviously, Emily and Luke have to keep their relationship a total secret from him, and they are both navigating him, trying to get advantage from him, and trying to work their way up in the company. But again, it is happening in very unequal ways, with Emily faring a lot better than Luke, and various things come out of that. So this is, yes, yet another movie about the cutthroat environment of the business world today and all of that. It's reasonably well done. Personally, I think that my biggest single complaint about the movie is that the acting really is not very good. Eddie Marsan is terrific, and most of the secondary and tertiary characters are okay. But my gosh, the actors playing Emily and Luke just never really persuaded me, and that's a big problem because they are very much the major characters, the main characters in the movie. That aside, I had a good time watching it. It's entertaining. It is, yes, very, very cutthroat. There's an awful lot of sex in it. These days, they seem to have to put a lot of sex into this kind of movie, and there's a lot of it, so if you're not interested in a whole lot of splashed all over the screen sex stuff, then this is probably not a movie for you. But hey, you know, that's just part of the game nowadays. It certainly didn't bother me, although I could have done with a little bit less of it because it kind of slows the story down. In any case, anybody interested in a reasonably hard-hitting drama about the business world and the cutthroat environment and all that familiar stuff, then Fair Play is a movie that you will like. If you're looking for excellent acting, then watch the Eddie Marsan parts. You can skip a lot of the rest of it. It's not a bad movie. Certainly not a very good movie, but not a bad movie. Fair Play. And again, that title is very ironic. Now for our last film today, which is some kind of thing I don't always spend a lot of time on. It is a short film. In my trade, short films are films less than an hour long. And this is a movie by the great Spanish director, one of the two or three greatest Spanish directors who have ever lived, Pedro Almodóvar. And the movie is called Strange Way of Life. And it is roughly a half an hour long. And it is a Western. And it is a Western in English, mostly in English. So that's very unusual for Almodóvar, a very Spanish filmmaker, to make a Western and make this movie largely in English. Now, it's interesting that some major directors these days seem to be making short films. For example, Wes Anderson. A few weeks ago, I talked about his short film, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar, based on a story by Roald Dahl. And now, three other movies. They form a sort of a tetralogy. Three other movies based on Roald Dahl's stories by Wes Anderson have also come out streaming, The Swan, The Rat Catcher, and Poison. And they're all pretty good. The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar is the longest one. The others are, maybe about 15, 20 minutes long. But, you know, they're nice little movies. I'm not a huge admirer of Wes Anderson, but, you know, these are nice little films, and they're not too long, and they don't wear out their welcome, and I had a good time with them. So, again, four shorts by Wes Anderson. The very interesting avant-garde director Godfrey Reggio, who years ago made Koyaanisqatsi and the other films of the Qatsi trilogy with music by Philip Glass, has come out with a new short called Once Within a Time, again with music by the very, very great Philip Glass. The very great director Pedro Costa, not a favorite of mine, but very highly regarded, who makes long films that go on for hours, has made a little short film called The Daughters of Fire, and it is a very, very visually beautiful film. And sonically beautiful. It has beautiful sounds in it, too. So we have all of these interesting directors making these short films. And I must mention that Pedro Almodóvar himself, about 3 years ago, made an earlier short called The Human Voice, a terrific film starring Tilda Swinton, again, largely in English. Mostly in English, and now Strange Way of Life, his short Western, is being released on a double bill with The Human Voice. So The Human Voice is about 3 years old now, but you can see The Human Voice, which, by the way, is absolutely wonderful, along with Strange Way of Life. And at the end of the program, they've appended an interview with Pedro Almodóvar where he talks about these movies. So Strange Way of Life, interesting cast, Ethan Hawke and Pedro Pascal. Play a couple of men who haven't seen each other in a long time, and now they are back together again because the Pedro Pascal character, whose name is Silva, has come to see the Ethan Hawke character, whose name is Jake, and pretty soon we learn that there is a great tension between them because Jake is a sheriff, and he feels that it is his duty to track down and arrest Silva's son. And the other complication in this is that they are gay, and they have, in fact, a liaison within the film. They make love within the film. This we don't see, but it's very, very clear what's about to happen as we fade to black. So we have these two basically gay cowboys, actually a sheriff and a Westerner, back in the days of the Old West, and there's this terrible tension between them, and once their lovemaking night is over, They have a long talk, and then we realize that Jake is really serious about tracking down and arresting Silva's son, and we start to wonder what will happen. And yes, we do see what comes after that. A good part of the film takes place when the two are getting together again after a long being separated for a long time, and then having their night of lovemaking, but then the next day is when things really start moving, and eventually we move away from the sheriff's office and so forth, and we start to see what eventually happens with the tracking down of the son, who apparently is, by the way, a pretty bad guy, who really does apparently deserve to get arrested. So, it's a Western. I don't think it's a great Western, but hey, it's around a half an hour long, and it certainly didn't wear out its welcome for me. Very interesting to see Ethan Hawke and Pedro Pascal in these slightly unusual roles, and the story is a little bit suspenseful, a little bit interesting, and it's kind of fascinating, I think, that in the interview with him that's at the end of this little program of short films, Almodovar mentions other movies that he had in mind when he was making this one, that they never ever have relationships between men and Westerns, he says, totally forgetting and failing to mention Brokeback Mountain, which is a very, very important film about gay cowboys, basically. That said, Strange Way of Life is a good movie. The film that's being released along with it, The Human Voice, is a superb movie. In all, it's a good double bill. All told, it's over in about an hour and a half, including the interview with Almodovar, and I recommend it. Strange Way of Life, a slightly strange movie, but not a bad one. And that is my partly Western story this week.
For which we thank you, as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Joan Baez, I Am a Noise, Fair Play, and Strange Way of Life.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.